older you get, you want to pay more attention. And when you're young, you don't pay much attention. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation, actually 19. I think we finished up in Revelation 19. And we're coming down near the end. And everybody I talk to, they always say, you know, this world's getting crazy. I say, you know, I started talking about, I was sitting in the doctor's office, I started talking about the Antichrist. I started talking about 666. You said, well, I try to scare the far out of everybody. And I said, what do you mean? I try to scare them to the point where they say, hey, man, there's something to this thing. And I said, you know, I believe the Antichrist is alive and well right now. And I explained to him he's going to be a Syrian Jew, and I went through all that stuff, about 30 years old. I went through all that stuff. Everybody in the place, even the nurses, they're all listening. And so I'm just trying to get people to think about God. Think about the Lord coming back. And this chapter, and Brother Rick had a scare this week, him and Miss Debbie. Rick had a heart attack. And Brother Rick was in the hospital this past weekend, and they put some stents in his heart. And and I called him up and talking to him. And I tell you what, life is short, man. Like Brother Jay said, none of us promise tomorrow. You better keep your account up to date. Keep everything straight. Keep it all right. And keep clean. And the Bible says this in Revelation 19. It says, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. You know what I love, the book of Revelation, it tells you, I mean, throughout the Old Testament, it tells you how things are going to end up, but this gives you even more detail. It says, the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. He said, where's the devil at, the unholy trinity? You know, the devil has unholy trinity, which is the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. And it tells you that back in Revelation. If you don't have that mark, go back to Revelation. Revelation, I think it's 16. Go back to Revelation 16. Is it there? Yeah, Revelation 16. Look at verse 13. If you need to mark this in your Bible so you can tell people, hey, man, there's an unholy trinity. And just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is a holy trinity, the devil has an unholy trinity. And yeah, I tell people all the time, I say this when I'm preaching funerals, I say, God made you in three parts. He made you in three parts. The Bible tells you that. Your body, soul, and spirit. You got three parts in your body, and your soul, and your spirit. That tells you that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So when you talk to people, see, God made the sun. The sun has three different rays. Man, it's wild how God made things. And when people try to say there is no creator, there is no great divine designer, they don't know what they're talking about. And Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. My daughter, Rachel, used to love to have frogs around. I said, man, they're unclean spirits. She'd have pictures of frogs and all that stuff. I said, unclean stuff. They're gone? Got them out. Amen. The frogs are the type of unclean. You know, into something. And you ever watch Snow White? Was it Snow White? Who was it? No, not Snow White. It was the one that kissed the frog. Who kissed the frog? The prince, some princess. Anyway, yeah, Miss Piggy. Some princess kisses the frog, and he turns into a prince. You know, Lady Diana, Lady Gaga, Lady Gaga. The world, they get all that stuff, man. They get that stuff, and you know, the prince, it really is Jesus Christ. He became sin for us who knew no sin, and he's the prince. And when you know, the church is the bride. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And you say, who's the dragon, the devil? Who's the beast, the Antichrist? And who's the false prophet, the Pope? He's going to be the false prophet. For they are the spirits of what? Devils working miracles. When people start saying, the devil can't perform miracles, yes, he can. He will, and he does. He works miracles. The spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth from the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle the great day of God Almighty. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk and be naked, and they see his shame. So that's somebody in the tribulation period. Now, go back to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, and it says, where was it? No, I'm in 20. I'm in 20. Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And like I tell folks all the time, they say, are you one of them hellfire damnation? But yes, I am, because the Bible teaches it, and Jesus preached on it. And hell, and the lake of fire. The Bible talks about hell being a holding place. And it says in Revelation 20, it says, death and hell was brought up and at the white throne judgment, and they were cast into the lake of fire. So look at verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that had sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And you know what the sword is. The sword is the word of God. The word of God. The Bible tells you that in Hebrews chapter 4. The word of God. And it says, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Go back to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6. Revelation 6, and look at this. In verse 12, and behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains, fall on us, on the rock, and mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So we know this is a tribulation. The Lord coming back, he's going to, man, it ain't going to be the baby Jesus in the manger anymore. He's going to come back. And the world, we're getting ready going to celebrate Christmas. And everybody likes to have baby. They like to keep little baby Jesus in the manger. Let's keep him there. They don't want to think about him coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't want to think of him coming back with judgment. And they don't want to think that. And, they just don't want to think of that kind of God. But God's long-suffering, slow to anger, been merciful, and people still even today, turn their back on him. I was talking to a preacher today. He's coming up here getting married in November 25th when we come to his wedding. He's older man, never been married, and he's getting married here, wanted me to be his best man. And his name is Paul Foltz. He memorized the whole New Testament. And He was telling me today that a guy that was telling us when I first got saved, he was a youth pastor at Riverdale Baptist Church, and this guy is named Mark Helmeteller. And I had a lot of respect for Mark. He told me, he said, Mark doesn't even believe the Bible anymore. I ain't going to church, not doing anything anymore. And he gave me his phone number. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, well, he went through a divorce, and he remarried, and got into making money. Then he had a heart attack, and he said he died on the table. And now I said, man, God have mercy. Mark was one of a great preacher, I'm telling you what. And that shows you even the best of you. You think I'll never turn my back. People will if you don't keep your heart right and keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. You start looking at men, start looking at people. You'll get defeated. You'll get discouraged. But you keep your eyes on Him. It won't bother you what people do. It won't affect you. It won't affect you. What I know about all kinds of things people have done, all kinds of things preachers have done, but it don't affect me. It hurts me for them. It hurts me for the Lord and for other people, but it's not going to affect me about my walk with God. I'm going to keep my walk with God right. But what happens is you start looking around everybody else. You get your eyes, they that compare themselves among themselves and not wise. You don't do that. You get your eyes on Jesus Christ. And people always said, well, what about them? What about, that's what Jesus said about disciples. They said, what about them? How are they going? He said, don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about them. He said, follow me. And what you got to do is keep your eyes on him and not worry about what everybody else is doing and just trust God. And now chapter 20, and you said, where the beast and the false prophet gets cast into the lake of fire, but what happens to the devil? In Revelation 20, it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven. Here he comes, having the key of the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand. Man, I'm tell you what, I think up in heaven we're all going to be shouting when we see that day. When we see that angel coming down and have a chain in his hand, you think what kind of chain would hold the devil? What kind of change? But then the Bible says in Isaiah, says, is this the man? He's going to walk down and stand before God and say, is this the man that caused the havoc and caused all the trouble, all that? And he's going to bow before Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to see that. And man, I know I'm on the winning side. I know I got the book. I know, you say, oh, you believe you're writing everything? No, I don't believe I'm writing everything. But I know I got the right book. I know I got the right God. I know I'm saved. I know that's right. There's some things that he's going to straighten us out on some things. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that he's going to iron out all the wrinkles and all the spots, get the spots out of the church. I know there's some stuff that the church needs straightening out on. And there's no perfect church. There isn't. Never will be on this earth. It'd be a perfect church when Jesus comes. And thank God for that. And it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. And it says a great chain in his hand. You know, the Bible tells us that, you say, where did that angel get that key? He had to get it from Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 1. Look in Revelation 1. He had to get it from Jesus. Jesus had to walk over and say, here, here's the key. Unlock it. You go down and take care of that business there. And look at this. It says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, I have the keys. So the Lord's got keys. He's got a key chain. I got a big old key chain. And my grandkids look at it and they say, man, Papa, that's a lot of keys. I've got keys for everything. And some of the keys, I don't even know what they are. But the Lord knows what every key is. He's got a key for everything. I mean, you say, man, and hell's got a key. And only God has a key to unlock it. And look at this. And I have the keys of hell and of what? Death. So the angel that gets a key walks over. Jesus Christ walks over, takes the key off his keychain off. Say, here, take this and go down, get that chain, go lock him up and put him down there. And what is the devil going to do about it? Nothing. He ain't doing nothing. He's going to bow his knee. Praise God. We're going to see it one day. We're all going to be going, woo! Yeah! Hallelujah, man. You say that you know what? I'm not discouraged. I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends up. Amen. And I know this book is right. Hallelujah. And he says, and he laid hold on the dragon. And who do you think the angel is that takes the devil down? Has to be Michael. Michael, I never forget Sam Gibb came through here one time. He's preaching on the angels. He said, you know, all the angels in heaven have seven letters. He said, all the people on earth, when man comes on this earth, have five number of death. When Jesus Christ is born, his name is Jesus. Five. Death. Michael is in heaven, seven. Gabriel, seven. He said, what about Jesus Christ? The prophecy of Jesus Christ in Isaiah says, you know, his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's eight letters in that name. You know why? It's new beginning. His name shall be called Emmanuel. So the devil was called Lucifer, seven letters in heaven. Now he's called the devil, five. Satan, five. Isn't that something? And he laid hold on the dragon. That old serpent. You notice the dragon has six letters. You know why six? Nor a man or the Antichrist. And it says, that old serpent. And it says, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And that's something that puzzles me. After the devil gets loose for 1,000 years, that's where God, you wonder, why did God put that name Absalom in the Bible? Why did God put Absalom, that type of Absalom, David's son, Absalom? And Absalom is a type of the devil. He's a type of the devil. He's trying to turn the kingdom against Jesus Christ. And right now, Jesus Christ is kind of, in a sense, in exile. We're here for him, to represent him. We're like the advisors to see people come to know Jesus Christ, to keep them with David, to keep them with Jesus Christ. It says in verse 3, and cast him into bottomless pit and shut him up And it says, and set a seal upon him. Amen. Shut up. Shut up. shut him up. Shut up. I would like to see him put a piece of Gorilla glue across his lips. And it says, cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon them, him, that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And that little season that he gets, he turns the world, a lot of the world against Jesus Christ to go march against him. You talking about this deception and deceiving, and the devil is slick. And boy, I tell you what, there's going to be a great day to see when he gets cast in that lake of fire. But then when he come up, the Bible says God's going to just wipe him out completely. And verse 4, and I saw thrones. The question came up, Rachel, I'm going to tell him what you asked the other night, or y'all got talking. The question comes up, she called me the other day and asked me about Isaiah. Is it Isaiah 50, what was it, Isaiah 58? Look over to Isaiah 35:7. 45:7. 45:7. 45:7. See what it says? God's talking. He said, I formed the light and created darkness. And the Bible says he dwells in thick darkness, but he's light. He dwells in thick darkness, but he's light. He says, I make peace, I create and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. And they said, well, if God is love and perfect, and why did he create evil? And you just seen over here about the devil, about the dragon. God created Lucifer. Did he know Lucifer was going to go bad? Yes. But the universe is made, and everything is made with a positive and a negative. God put that in you. You got a positive and a negative. You can make a choice. And the devil made a choice. And God said, I create evil. And he did. He did. You say, is God's fault why man sinned? No. No. Evil is a result of sin. God put man in a perfect environment. No sin. Gave him everything he needed. No sin. Except one tree. He said, that don't make no sense. Yes, it does. God says, don't touch that tree. Don't even eat from it. Don't eat from it. And man, you know what it is? My wife, she had to go through a procedure. And she drank this stuff, and she couldn't eat anything for 24 hours, drink anything. No. And when you know that you can't touch something, it wears you out. And you can't have coffee. You know, I like to get up first thing in the morning. We got coffee brewing. I like to have 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I like that. I like to have that, man, especially just a Dunkin' Donut ground up. Good coffee. And it tastes good. Now, Jesse made it real strong this morning. He made it strong. It could almost, like my mother used to say, it can walk. And but it was good. But my wife said, man, it's eating me up. For 24 hours, can't have. And that's why you try fasting for 24 hours. Try not to eat nothing. They call breakfast, it's breaking a fast. You hadn't eaten anything for 8 hours, if you sleep 8 hours. And try not to eat nothing for 24 hours. See how hard it is. You say, oh, it ain't hard. Yeah, try it. I used to fast every Wednesday. And before I was going to preach at the rescue mission in Alabama. And when I was down in Bible school, we fast every Wednesday. And I'll never forget, man, every morning I was, like, my vehicle, I went down the road, I'd pull right into 7-Eleven. It was just normal. That's what I did. But every Wednesday, I'd pull into 7-Eleven. I go, it's Wednesday. It's just like what happens to you. On Wednesday night, Wednesday, you'd be working, and you go, oh, man, when I get home tonight, oh, man, tonight's Wednesday night. Oh, man, it's church night tonight. Oh, man. Oh, it's dark. I want to stay home. Oh, man. I feel a little sick. I think I'm getting a cold. I'll just stay home tonight. That preacher will understand. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The devil works on you, man. And I can't even say that's the devil. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. And when I pulled in that 7-Eleven go, I couldn't wait to get that cup of coffee. And I pull in there, and I'm not kidding, I pull right up to the curb and getting ready to get out the truck, and then I look in and I go, oh, you talking about losing the joy of your salvation. I'd be sitting there watching people pour their coffee. And have to put it in reverse and back up. Yeah. Try it. You think I'm kidding? Try it. See what happens.
Try TV for a while.
Yeah, try TV. No, I haven't watching TV come on. Try it. My Lord. And I'll never forget, I'll get back to this in a minute. At one point, I thought I was losing my hair because of the 7-Eleven coffee. I'm not kidding. Brother Renee was drinking that 7-Eleven coffee all the time, and I thought, man, he's going bald. And I went in and said, look at it, everybody's checking out their, you know, your receding hairline now. I'll never forget, I went in 7-Eleven, and I'm sitting in there, and I'm looking at all the men. I'm thinking, I'm worried about, you know, I'm about 30-some years old. I'm worried about my hair starting to come out and my hair receding. I thought, oh, my Lord. And I started looking at all the men getting the coffee in there, and they were all bald-headed. I had already poured my coffee. I backed away from it and went, oh, man. And I waited. It was all these boys. I said, hey, how long you been coming here? Guys, 10 years. You been drinking this coffee 10 years? He goes, yeah. Hadn't hurt me a bit. I'm looking at his head. He's bald-headed. And I mean, I'm looking at all the men coming in there. And then finally, I waited. I waited for a guy with a full head of hair come in. I said, hey, buddy, how long you been coming here? Oh, man, I've been coming here most of my life. You been drinking the same coffee? Yeah. Oh, phew. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That's why I don't go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Is he Tommy? Yeah. Tommy lost his hair. Jay, you drink coffee? Yeah, no. Oh, man, we better move on. All right. It says, cast him in the bottomless pit. Shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. That's going to be a great time. Don't you know, I believe this. I believe that the devil hangs over cities and he has control of cities. And the reason why I believe that, because take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 4. Look in Matthew 4. I believe the devil hangs right over the United Nations. The devil likes to hang around certain places. Now, he likes to come in and try to steal anything. And when he comes to a Bible-believing church, he likes to come in and try to steal any glory that's given to God. He'll try to do that. But he likes to hang around certain. I believe he hangs around D.C. I believe he hangs around Philadelphia, New York. So when you go into those places, you know, you go in there and you can feel evil. You can feel it. When I go into the prisons and when I walk through those doors, I can feel evil. You can feel it. And look at this. People say, oh, I don't believe the devil has control of the cities. Look what the Bible says. It says, after Jesus fasted for 40 days, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then he says, the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee in their hands. You can't trust angels. You can't trust angels. There's God's angels. And and you read in Revelation chapter 12, there's going to be a battle between the angels, the devil and his angels, and Michael the archangel and his angels. And guess who's going to win? Michael the archangel. But you can't trust angels. The Bible tells you that if anybody comes to you, even if an angel from heaven tells you any other gospel, preach any other gospel, let him be a curse or a man, all that. So it tells you to watch out for that stuff. You can't trust that. So look what the Bible says. He said, if thou be son, cast thyself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. The devil used scripture on Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ put scripture back on him. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh them up into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said on them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the devil said, I'll give you all the kings of the world if you'll bow down to me and worship me. I want worship.
Right.
And look what the Lord said. And then said Jesus on him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And the devil leaved him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, so the devil has control of kingdoms and cities and all that stuff. And that's why the Lord tells us in the book of Luke, he said, you'll serve me. He said, and then the Bible says in Romans, he said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. So the things that you go through in this life, you just count it as for his glory. He said, you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. He'll put you over cities, what the devil had control of. So there's going to be some old saints of God in control of some places. All right, we're going to take a prayer request now. I mean, we'll get into that next time. Any questions or anything?